out last year I was president and I got Seth Hoover to relieve me, and last fall Seth passed away, and now we're going to have stand and have a short silent prayer for Seth. Let us stand. Amen. For our Bible reading tonight, I thought it was appropriate. I used Revelations 22, verse 13. I am the Omega. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the end of Blue Water, and this is going to be the new of East Winds. And I think that we can all look forward to continuing a good relationship. Some of us go to a different quarter. Like Shibona, they aren't with us no more. They go on to another group. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for creating a place for us to meet and people for us to meet. Bless this day and keep us safe. Amen.
Thank you. 50 sing. I think the only one singing was Shane back there.
Oh, Gage. I'm sorry, Gage.
Yeah. Oh, you got two there?
Oh,
we're sorry. Gage. But you begin to wonder sometimes, don't you? Okay. When Jack called me and we started setting this thing up a few months ago, he said, we need a guest speaker. Who do we get? And I thought for about 30 seconds. I know who we can get. And he goes, who? Gary Benicke. And so I courted Gary after a Lions Club meeting. I'd known Gary for a long time. And I said, Gary, would you do that? And I think he stumbled a little bit. He says, sure. And I have known Gary. I am proud to be able to say he's my friend. And he's a friend of all of ours. And he's got a great story to tell about a lot of things. And I think I'm not going to go any farther. Gary Benicke, our sheriff.
He wasn't kidding when he said, he did talk and said how many, and it was 20, and then it was 40, and then 80, and I was like, help me, Jesus. And Russ, where are you hiding at? Because of him, I had to come out of my shell once before here, Russ Shoemaker, and he asked me to come up and talk at church, and I almost think that's why the Lord changed it to here, because I think I felt a little more comfortable here. I'm kind of going to talk a little bit about my life, my church, and really as a little bit of a testimonial. Some of it might sound a little familiar to some of them in the audience, but I think it'll tie together nicely, and with that, I'll try and not be any more nervous and shut up. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, in 1954. Now, I was blessed, truly blessed, because I've never done anything wrong in my life. You laugh, but I had a twin brother, and guess what? We were identical, and it seemed like growing up, no matter what happened, Larry always got caught. I never did, so I was a good twin. But it did help through life. We were both born Christian in Catholic Church, raised Catholic. Anyone know where Warren Ascension Church is in Warren, Michigan? I learned the Ten Commandments there. I also remember kneeling in nuns. And boy, I always thought yardsticks were for measuring. Slouch once and you found out. Back then we had church most mornings. And though I didn't really know why, but later in the summer of 66, we moved to Forestville, Michigan. So I went from being that city boy to being the country bumpkin. My father became the caretaker of a Catholic youth camp there, and that actually is where most of my upbringing came from, as they tried to develop this youth camp and bring these city boys and girls to this country way of life. For a lot of us, we didn't know what a cow was. We didn't know what a horse was. And my first go-round up there was with all that. But those early days involved a lot of chores in some form. I don't know how digging footings, pouring concrete, hauling blocks, all that could be called chores, but as a young lad, I think that's exactly what helped set our willingness to work and stay busy. We learned a lot about life. We learned a lot about death. Being on the farm, raising chickens, and we had as many as 12 horses there because the city kids didn't know what horses was, so they had to learn how to ride. I have a hard time looking to the left, and actually a few years ago I had surgery, and the specialist actually said, oh, I know what's wrong with that, Sheriff, because I told him I had a hard time looking to the left. He said, well, you must be a conservative because they all have a hard time looking to the left. So I had to get that in, and then I'll look to the left. So I got to loosen this up somehow. We learned lessons, and I say, wow, we learned them. We attended St. John's Catholic Church, And I really remember life being pretty simple back then, but I also remember it being pretty special. We had campfires all summer long. There was Lake Huron there, and I always seemed to have a yearning what was under that water. And for anybody that really knows me personally, that's probably my other love in life is scuba diving. And that's where I learned it. That's where I lived it, was up there. I can recall even turning a canoe over so I could try and have this air pocket and look down in the water. But it was a lot. It was a lot of fun. There were some good memories. I didn't fully understand, I think, back then what God was always about. But I always remember my father saying, the sky's the limit. There isn't anything you can't do if you truly want to work for it. Or how about that old adage, a little hard work never hurt anyone. But I also remember him saying, if that doesn't work, try praying to God. And you know, I've had to do it a lot over the years, but I think he's always been there for me. There was a special night one summer that I recall, and I spent it with a very special friend. I was laying on a hay wagon by a campfire, and I had my boy's best friend alongside of me, and no, it wasn't a she. It was my old trusty German Shepherd named Rocky. And I can recall sitting there and seeing a falling star. And it was late. I was probably up well past my bedtime, but we didn't really have bedtime in the summertime there. You could enjoy yourself as much as you could, especially on them weekends. But I recall laying there and seeing this falling star, and it just lit up the sky, and you just knew, whether you were a boy or a girl, that you could wish on that star, and that someday, you know, that star would come, that wish would come true. I prayed to God to heal, to help, to love, to forgive. After living through a divorce, I lost the church. I truly did. I don't think I ever lost God, but I did lose the church. The summer of 1990 was a God-changing event for me. I met my wife, Deborah, and she coaxed me into attending this very church that we're all in here today. I connected back with God through this Methodist church, and I really do believe that, again, he never left me. And I will carry his teachings with me till my death. It's been said that God opens doors. But what I've really learned is that God helps us walk through them. The Methodist faith is made up of some very special people. And I've gotten to know a lot of you right here in this very church and a lot of the other people around here. The Methodist faith to me is one big family. We pray together, we hurt together, we share our happiness all together. What about that wish? I kind of got off the digression. No one asked, so I'll answer it anyways. I'm going to answer it by telling you a little story. And this little story I tell to all my DARE students, which are fifth graders across this county in all seven schools. And I talk about this little boy who grew up. And all he ever wanted to do since he was about 10 years old was become a police officer. That was it. Life was simple. One goal. He strived to do the best that he could, although that sometimes he did fail. He'd ask for God's forgiveness, but he always tried to do what was right. This little boy, I know his grades weren't always the best. He seemed to excel at sports. I remember one lesson he did learn, and that was the difference between a C-plus and a B-minus was an apple for the teacher. He went off to college. He was hired in law enforcement. He always had focus. He always had direction. He always had a desire. And the Lord always showed him the way. I can recall that this young man, in his very first pistol shoot, he came in very last. And yet the very next year, he won that very same event. He spent well over three decades riding across these roads in Sanilac County and learning to not only be a good police officer, but to be a good citizen and to be a good person. One starry night, he took a chance. And we've all been there, every single one of us. For the young boys and that are here tonight, you remember a night when you were outside and there was just a bazillion stars out there. Well, one of them stars was a special star. It was a gold star. And he reached out and he grabbed it, caught it. You know how I know that story's true? I wear that very star right here on my chest today. And I thank each and every one of you for it. The Methodist faith is based on, I believe, being fishermen of lost souls. Look where your sheriff's at. I got a building full of them. That isn't good enough. I can go out on the streets anywhere and find more. And they are truly lost souls. And it is our job and my job to help find them. And I also know that I am living proof because I am one of them. A little bit about your sheriff. This is my first job, my only job. I hired in the sheriff's office. I was just under 20 years of age. And yes, if you do the math, I'm 63. I'm in my 43rd year there. I've worked every aspect of that office, from corrections all the way Marine Division, being a sergeant. I was one of the longest serving sergeants there. I was fortunate enough to be chosen your undersheriff and blessed that the Lord seen through it that I could be your next sheriff. I refer to notes a lot, and that when I'm nervous, I do that. And yet I sit here and I think of my former boss. And Verge could write two or three words down on a sheet of paper and talk for an hour with it. And I sometimes wish I had that, but I don't. I think I kind of want to finish with where I come from and what's going on in the county that I serve. Crime has been down the last 3 years. And I sometimes struggle at trying to figure out why. I really went from being that officer to being a good supervisor to being your sheriff. And part of my duties now is to look at statistics and how they work. And, you know, crime being down, it's kind of hard sometimes to put a handle on why, because some of our worst crimes have been committed in the last couple years, and it's really had a lot to do with the opiate epidemic. And I don't mean to pick on Shane back there, but, you know, our state rep has been trying to work very closely with all the state reps and sent it across the state with all the sheriffs and police chiefs to try and get a handle on this, because it is a national epidemic, and it is causing some great problems. I don't know where we're going in the future. You know, I try to do what I can today and hope for the best tomorrow. This is a national crisis, I think, that's going to affect all of us, and how it's going to end, I'm not sure, but I know that somehow we got to get a handle on it. People have asked where I stood on marijuana, and your sheriff gets it, all right? 6 out of 10 people voted in 2008 to legalize it for medical purposes. Do I want to see it legalized? No, I don't. I'm taking a stand right here in front of you and God and telling you, no, I don't. And if it isn't for no other reason, it's because of bad things that are becoming of it. We've had armed robberies. We've had people have their ear cut off. We've had 2 homicides. And it's all directly related to the marijuana issue. If they aren't overgrowing, they have the cash to go with it. The extra product is being disposed of illegally in some cases. And it's causing crime to come back into our area. I don't believe legalizing it's the answer. And we don't have to look any further than the issues with alcohol. You know, after the days of prohibition, it was legalized because they didn't believe they could do anything else with it. Is that what we're doing here? I mean, we're going to legalize some of the other drugs too? I think we really have to stop and look, and with all your help and with your voting and with our state senators and representatives, I think we can tackle this issue and we can get ahead of it. I don't mean to digress. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think you need to know that of me to know who I am and where I'm coming from. I don't have a lot else to talk on. I've been your sheriff now for 10 years. I've tried to do the best I could every day. Everything's been going good there. Your budget's been in the black every year. I thank the Lord because I'm one that I think couldn't balance a checkbook. And when Virgin first asked me to be the undersheriff, I recall sitting there saying, $4 or $5 million budget, Sheriff, I can't add them zeros. Oh, forget them zeros. Just 2 and 2 is 4. He said, just do the math on your fingers, and if you have to, take your shoes off. But I am a steward of your dollars, and I've worked hard for it. We are one of only 3 counties in the state of Michigan that actually run our jail at a profit. Think about that. We run it at a profit. How do you do that in this day and age? Crime's not supposed to pay, and yet we do that. And we've been very successful of it, and we've been very successful because I had the support when I first took over as your sheriff with some of the former county boards of commissioners. Commissioner Ruby, who's no longer with us, one of my biggest allies. I could always go to Jim, and if there was a fight, all I had to do is justify the figures to that man, and boy, I tell you, he could do the math and get out of his way because it was done. Nort Schramm's here. He was another one. Very, very big supporter of me. Thank you, Nort, for all your support over the years. Dad always said, don't name somebody because you'll leave somebody out, but every one of you in some way have whether we disagreed on a topic or not, have been just a support of mine that has helped me through the good and bad times. And I could ramble on up here all day. I promised I wouldn't, and I'm going to try not to. So I would just like to say thank you all for having me here. Dale, I hope I met your expectations. I really enjoyed tonight. I've had a chance to visit with several of you, and I, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for allowing me to be your sheriff. Thank you.
It's true. It's what you've been waiting for. So here is the Peals of Praise Handbell Choir from this church, otherwise known as Gage and the Grandmas, under the direction of my wife.
Thank you. guys thought was easy, right?
Thank you.
Okay. Paul Williams isn't with us tonight, so I'll do the roll call real quick. I'm going to run through the churches alphabetically. Somebody yell out how many you have here. And when we get to the end, if I miss somebody, let me know. Armada?
Four.
Attica?
Five.
Buell? Decker? Deckerville?
Three.
Kingston?
14.
Lexington?
Five.
Melvin?
Four.
Omar? It doesn't matter. Kingston's going to win anyway, but Port Huron, Romeo, Sandusky, Shabona. All right. So, did I miss anybody? Brown City. Two. Any others?
Snover.
How many? Six from Buell. What was the Snover number?
One.
Any others? All right, it looks like Kingston, the banner goes back where it came from this time with Kingston. A treasurer's report. So about a year and a half ago when kind of a new group of us took this over, we were somewhere, the number's back there, but it was about $1,750 in that range in the account. We were making money off of these events. We were doing the offerings, and the balance would go up a little bit. This group kind of thought, there's no reason to make money off of these. So we did the last three where the offering entirely went to a charity. And now we're at a point where we are just under $1,000 in the account, sustainable kind of. It was $857.72 at the beginning of this event. And what we talked about at the last event was that now we can kind of break even if we do our offering where 50% of it stays with the district men's group and 50% of it goes to a charity of the host church's choice. So this will be the first time we do that. I don't know who the host church, if we're going to do 25% to Sandusky and 25% to Shabona, but we'll figure that out. So tonight's offering, half of the money will stay with our district men's group. Half of it will go to charities for that host church of their choice. So if I can get Terry and Mel and two people over on this side, don't rush. I've got offering plates here and baskets. So I have two people work these two set here and two work those two over there. And I believe, do we have a bell solo while we do this offering?
593. Give us strength, Lord. Give us the ability to carry on in a new district doing your work as usual. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.